I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 487. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. As we get started today, I recognize engaging God's Word for yourself can feel daunting. And while our featured song will give us fresh inspiration as to where to study, the episode guide will give you the interaction tools you need to dig in. So grab your episode 487 guide at michellenezat.com/487 download. And if you've already subscribed to my email list, this guide is already in your inbox, ready to help you discover and meditate on God's Word in new ways. Now, this week's song was a recommendation from one of my partners on a teaching team at church, and I've never heard it on the radio, but sometimes a song touches me so personally or points so vividly to Scripture that I choose to use it on the podcast anyway. Manasseh by Anna Golden does both for me. And I promise to explain, but before we dive into that, let's listen.
This is my Manasseh. You've caused me to forget. Your goodness washes over. This is my lesson. You've caused me to forgive. In all my broken places, you're rewriting what's been written. Thank you for my lesson. Thank you for my lesson.
Anna tells the story of this song on the album itself, and I will link to her words in the show notes because her story is worth listening to. But basically, the song came out of a period of deep sorrow and some church hurt. And once she was on the other side of it, she was able to write this song as a testimony to the goodness of God. But what does it mean? Manasseh is a name. In fact, Manasseh is the name of the firstborn son of Joseph in Egypt. And in Genesis 41:51, it says, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. So Manasseh means to forget the pain of my father's household. And Joseph had a lot of pain to forget. And with the birth of his son Manasseh, Joseph acknowledged the new season of his life that God had brought him into. And that is where we will start with our study. Now, I promise to wrap back around to why this song touches me so personally, but I always want to start with God's word because his story always holds more power than my own. So where do we start? Well, I know that I've introduced you to Manasseh in the verse where he is first mentioned, but if we're really truly to follow up on the theme that the song has put forth, so like the lyrics say, this is my Manasseh. So in the scripture, who would the my belong to in that statement? It would belong to Joseph. And so that's where I've been focusing my reading and my study. And I have a few minutes, just a few, to boil down and highlight some of what I've studied. But I hope that you will make the effort this week to kind of follow along and dive into some of the resources that I read or some of the resources that I listened to, because I can't nearly cover it all here. And so I'm gonna tell you about some resources. So this week, yes, it's a 20-25 minute podcast, but I hope you spend a little extra time listening to some of the other outside resources that I introduce you to. But first things first, I listened to the story of Joseph. That's a BITE, by the way, B-I-T-E, Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. And these are exercises that I use to keep my time in God's Word varied and effective. And when I first started exploring this idea of Manasseh and Joseph's story and all of that, I was painting cabinets in a little short-term rental that we're fixing up near our lake house. And so I didn't have my Bible in front of me, but I could easily listen to Scripture on audio. And And so listening to an audio version of the text is a wonderful habit and one that I think will fit into your life nicely. And how do I know that? Do I even know you? Well, you're listening to an audio presentation right now, so it's obviously something that you're already drawn to. So listening to an audio version of the text is a wonderful way to get started, especially if it's a larger chunk of scripture. So to get all of Joseph's story, you could read about his birth back in Genesis chapter 30, but you really get to know him as a person starting in Genesis 37. And the narrative that includes Joseph's story is, it is one of the longest ones in scripture. And so we get quite a bit of his story. Some people, we only just get a few verses here or there, but I think one way to do this is to kind of follow along with me, but I also encourage you to back up a little and consider his heritage too. It all weaves together. So I'm going to really focus in on Genesis 37 through 50, but I don't want to diminish the idea that you might be missing part of his story and part of the history that leads to his story if you don't read all of Genesis. So I was pretty sick recently, and I'm just going to give you an example. I was sick and I had fever and coughing. You can kind of hear probably a little bit of the remnant left over. And the best way for me to keep still and in bed and resting is to read. And unfortunately, I can't read really deep and thoughtful books when I'm sick, but light fiction works perfectly well to keep me still. And so I read through a whole young adult fiction series that my daughter has been wanting me to read. I read it in 3 days. But each new book in the series really needed the one before it, but the author actually skillfully included enough details that if you picked up book 2, for example, you wouldn't be lost. You wouldn't be lost, but you would not have the value of the story that came before it either. And so, like in this series, it's a 5-book series. There were 3 books that were kind of all a set of characters, and then there were 2 books that were like the kids of the characters and the main characters. But the kids' stories were so much richer because I had read their parents' stories. And so, again, having the value of the story that came before it. That's why I want to always encourage you to take the bite of read and keep on reading. And I actually heard it called something differently the other day. Alex Goodwin, in his book, The Bible Reset, calls it reading big. And he defines that by reading whole books. And all of that to say, it would definitely benefit you to read big, like read all of Genesis again, but at least read or listen to all of Joseph's story in as close to one setting as possible. So Genesis 37 through 50 is kind of our focus area. Now, another thing I did this week was to try out some of the tools in the Logos Bible Software toolbox that I have not yet explored. And I've talked about Logos Bible Software as the go-to software that I use. And I have enjoyed some of the workflows included in the software because they are guided tasks. So it's like step one, do this. Step two, do this. And the ones that I've explored so far are very consistent with the way that I teach you to interact with scripture and the way I interact with it myself. So I really like that. So I pulled out the Biblical Person Study workflow, and I basically just followed the guide. And this workflow is included in the starter package on up. And so you can explore those different packages by visiting the link in the show notes at michellenezat.com/486. I just recommend the software, but it's absolutely not a prerequisite to do the study that we're going to talk about today. Now, within the guide, they referenced a resource by Rick Warren, Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods, 12 Ways You Can Unlock God's Word. And chapter 5 talks about the biographical method of Bible study. And so I explored that too. I kind of, you know, followed a little rabbit trail. And I really liked his process as well. And so I'm going to link to that book as well in case you're interested in that. But much of what is included in his book is included in the workflow, but you can read all about each step in his book. So these are the 2 guides that I used in my study this week. They informed my study. I did not, but like I talked about last week, I used them as a tool, not as a rule. And so I didn't follow either guide to the letter. But just if you wanted to absolutely recreate what I did kind of reference both of those guides. So the first step I took, though, was to select the Bible person that I wanted to study. In this case, it's Joseph. And I wanted to understand what happened to Joseph that would make him name his first child Manasseh, why he would rejoice at the fact that God made him forget all of his hardship and all of his father's house. And so even if I didn't know the story of Joseph, which I did, but if that was my first introduction, I would say, wow, this guy's had some hardship. And it's interesting that he wants to forget his family, his father's house. And why would that be? So the next step is to then make a list of all the references that talk about that person. So in our case, there are other areas of scripture where Joseph is mentioned and referenced. This Joseph, by the way, don't get confused. Not every Joseph is the same Joseph, of course. But I think reading this large chunk of Genesis is kind of the best place to start. It's the original narrative rather than commentary about the narrative that you might see in other places in scripture. And so I was pretty happy with just staying right here in Genesis and not flitting around too much. So when I listened to the text, that would have been considered by first reading. So because as you've probably guessed it, we're going to need to take the bite of repetition to make the most of our biographical study or to make the most of taking the bite of studying a character. So as a quick recap, here's the story in a nutshell. Joseph is the firstborn son of Jacob and Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, and son 11 of 12 to Jacob. He holds a special place in Jacob's heart, and he even received gifts from his father, a special robe to be exact. And his brothers were supremely jealous and full of hate. And when they got a chance, they sold him into slavery and they told their dad that he was dead. And Joseph ends up in the household of an important official in Egypt, and God's favor was with him, and he was completely trusted by his master until the master's wife got in her head that she wanted to sleep with Joseph. He ends up running away, but she bore false witness about him, and he ended up in prison. So while in prison, he interprets some dreams for a couple of guys, and the dreams come true. And all he asked was that they remember him on the outside, which they did not. Well, one of the guys was dead. So, but that's another detail. But a couple of years later, when the Pharaoh has some dreams that no one can interpret, Joseph's old prison buddy remembers him, and they call him up to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, which he does. And he gives credit to God, of course. Every time he is talking about his dreams, he realizes that they are from God. And Pharaoh ends up putting him in charge. And the wisdom that God gave Joseph and Pharaoh in the dreams was about a famine that was coming. And they basically did all the right things to prepare for it for themselves and for their nation and for the whole region. And so Pharaoh actually puts Joseph in charge of all of it, saying in Genesis 41, "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." So he's basically the number two guy in all of Egypt. Now, because of the famine, Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt to trade for food, and then begins the part of the narrative that I think I've always misread. So I've always felt like Joseph was playing with his brothers. Like, they didn't recognize him. He's older. He's dressed as an Egyptian. I get that. But after listening to a Bible Project podcast, I'm going to link to it in the show notes because it was so profound, I really began to see the narrative unfold very differently. So Joseph is actually giving his brothers a chance to rewrite the story, which they do. And eventually Joseph sends for all of his relatives to come join him in Egypt, where he's reunited with his father, and he sets his family up in the most fertile part of the land. And here's how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 105, verse 16. "When he summoned a famine on the land, being God, and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes." Now, in the Logos workflow, they ask a question: what role does the person play in biblical events? And just a quick note about the value of the software is that when I typed my answer into the workflow, it actually creates a notebook full of all of my answers and my thoughts and my questions and my ruminations. And that is especially helpful for me in that now my notes are now searchable within the software as well. So at any point in the future, if I'm studying Joseph now, and if at any point in the future I want to reference my study notes about Joseph or anything like that, these notes are safely cataloged. They are searchable, and it's just so cool. But that's just me geeking out a little bit. So back to the question, what role did Joseph play? Well, I wrote that he was a major figure in the salvation of his family and the chosen people of God. Joseph's name means to carry on or to increase, and both of these things happened through his life. That's basically what I jotted down in my notes. So it's those kinds of things that as you kind of come to these summary statements and conclusions, that you write them down, and then they are carefully cataloged in the software. But of course, you can put that in your notebook as well, which I have a ton of notebooks on my shelves doing the same thing. So I just can't search them. But anyway, this is a good place to also write down other first impressions, basic observations, important information. You can list out your problems, your questions, other places of curiosity. So this is what you're going to be doing after your first reading. Now, one of the observations that I made is that Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery. And I think when I read this, when I was 17, I felt like he should have known better than to brag and tattle. But now that I'm a parent of an almost 17-year-old and I've already parented another daughter who's well past that point, I can really see how childish Joseph's responses really were. Joseph just wasn't seeing the end of the story. Basically, at the beginning of his story, he's 17 years old, he has a dream, and he brags to his brothers about it, and they get really angry with him. And I just don't get the impression that he understood the impact he was making on his brothers. You know, he bragged because he was a kid. In fact, following the workflow kind of led me to consider other words used instead of Joseph's name. You know, like if I would say, Emily went to the store, she bought rice and noodles, the young woman bought milk. So the she and the young woman are all referenced to the same person, Emily. So there are other verses where maybe Joseph was present and another word was used for him. And this is the word for child or for boy. And what's interesting is it's the same word for boy used or child when he's much younger than 17. So basically what scripture is trying to tell us is that when Joseph is making these decisions, he was just a kid. He was a boy. And so I'm just like, okay, I assigned a fully formed mind to a boy in my past readings. And now I'm making this observation and I'm reading it a little bit differently. So the next step in the biographical method of study is to make a chronological outline of the person's life. So this is done during your second reading. So now remember the bite of repetition. I'm going to read it several times. Now, writing out the timeline of a person's life helps you take the bite of storying. And storying is where you practice telling the story until you're comfortable with it. And then you share the story and you can strike up conversations around the details of the story. And if you're intentional, you can point, you know, the person you're talking to, the gospel message. Such wonderful things happen when you know scripture well enough to retell it in your own words. And so you can better tell the story of someone's life once you've cataloged it. Now, there are a lot of details here. I encourage you to try to write it out chronologically on your own from memory. But if you're stuck, you can take the bite of reviewing the section headings in your Bible. In most Bibles, there are section headings which will give you an idea of what the section is about. Like in Genesis 37, one translation in the section headings say, Joseph's dreams, Joseph sold into Egypt, Jacob mourns Joseph. And so these types of things might help you create that chronological timeline. Now, I'm not going to take you through this part because basically I just modeled that storying earlier when I recapped the story for you. And I did that from memory. And you will be able to do that as well once you immerse yourself in the story. But thinking of the chronology of his story, I see a couple major breaks, like life before the betrayal of his brothers and then life after the betrayal of his brothers. He had slave life before prison, and then he had true freedom after prison, family life before reunification with his brothers and family, and then family life after. And I want to point this out because this is an interesting thing. The birth of Manasseh comes in after prison, but before reunification and restoration with his family. And this is where my study and the song comes together. So in the first stanza of the song, Anna Golden sings, "You redeem the innocence that's stolen. You return the years I thought were taken. You are rebuilding every broken home inside my heart." And I love these lyrics because they really get to the heart of Joseph's experience in a way that we can identify with it. And so now we have a shared experience, not a shared cultural experience. We did not grow up in that day and time. And you might be a woman. I'm a woman. I'm not a man. Those kinds of things. I'm an only child. I don't come from a big family. But the beauty of scripture is that we can dig deep and we can learn more about the culture to illuminate the text, for sure. But some things span culture and time and gender and age and all of that. So when she sings, "You redeem the innocence that's stolen," you know, Joseph's innocence was stolen when his brothers threw him into the pit and then sold him into slavery. He was just a boy. And perhaps you endured trauma when you were just a boy. Perhaps your innocence was stolen when you were just a girl. But Joseph's descent into the pit did not end in death on that day. And God's favor overshadowed the hatred of his brothers time and time again in Joseph's story. The next line, you return the years I thought were taken. You know, it's so easy to believe the lie of the enemy that our years in the pit are lost years, wasted, of no value. And I imagine that there were moments when Joseph thought, this is it, I'm a goner. I mean, especially after years in that prison being falsely accused. You know, in the big picture, it seems like he never lost hope. But I'm not sure every moment of every day was hope-filled for Joseph. You know, just like any human, there had to be moments of despair. But I've been like Joseph on the other side of a deep pit, and the joy of the new season seems like a reimbursement of the years that I thought were taken. How about the line, you're rebuilding every broken home inside my heart. So looking into the eyes of his newborn son, Manasseh, Joseph saw God building a life he never really thought he'd be alive for. Manasseh, yes, Lord, you've caused me to forget all my hardship because of this beautiful present joy. And yet, all that hardship made him into the man of wisdom and discernment that he was in that moment. Manasseh's dad, Joseph, was not the same boy that was thrown into the pit. He'd grown up, he'd matured, he'd leaned into God in the best of times and the worst of times, and he came out of the second pit into a new life of responsibility and success that's only possible because of the wisdom and discernment that he received from the Lord. So that he lacked before that, right? So in the chorus, the song says, in all my broken places, you're rewriting what's been written. And I mentioned it earlier, but I really, really, really want you to go listen to the Bible Project podcast about Joseph. I'm going to link it in the show notes because they give such a good perspective on the scene after Manasseh has been born. There's a series of interactions between Joseph and his brothers where it looks like he's just playing with them. But if you look closely, he's giving them a chance to rewrite their story. And the lyrics reminded me of what I learned there on that podcast. But Joseph had a choice. He could look at the face of his newborn son and he could rejoice that this new joy caused him to forget his hardship, or he could live in the past. Have you ever said, there's just some things you can't get over? That's bondage, my friend. There's a line in the song, in a song that we sing at church, that says, if I'm not dead, God's not done. And that's true of Joseph's story here and of our own story. And then one final thing. I'm also tempted to define for God what my Manasseh will look like. You know, I want my new joy that is so bright that my old pain gets lost in the shadows to look a certain way. And God has been challenging me to see the Manasseh in front of me rather than craning my neck to look for my joy to be complete in a different form. He's been shining the spotlight on the gifts right in front of me. So perhaps your Manasseh is quietly cooing in the corner of your life as well. One final note before we wrap up. When you read Joseph's story for yourself, you will discover that this his sweet Manasseh arrives long before Joseph's brothers enter his throne room. God is helping Joseph rebuild his life before he ever had a thought that it could be rewritten and restored in the dramatic way that it was. That's just food for thought. So what's next? Well, read or listen to Joseph's story in Genesis 37 through 50. Read repetitively and add to your study each time. So the first time you read the narrative, write down your first impressions, including your questions. The second time you read through it, jot down the chronological timeline of Joseph's life. And the third time you read through it, consider any shared experiences that you and Joseph may have had. And pray and ask God to reveal himself in the midst of Joseph's story and yours. And while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on X or Instagram @michellenezat or on Facebook. Michelle L. Nezat is my public page, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. You can check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to grab your episode guide at michellenezat.com/487download. And with that in mind, I want to thank any new subscribers subscribers who have subscribed recently, like Leanne from Mississippi, Tony Lee from New Zealand, Hannah from Florida, Jane from North Carolina, Praise from Zimbabwe, Corinne from Oregon, Rola from Taiwan, Julie from South Dakota, Karen from New Jersey, Donna from Texas, Catherine from Oregon, and Crystal from Louisiana. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, please do that. It's so special to me, but also helps me stay visible to new listeners. You can go over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong, and there's links there to leave your review. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring Counting My Blessings by Seth Schlieder to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/487. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.